Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is the producer of VFN Radio program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos will be joining us also in just a few. Hopefully we'll get a story about the pug. We'll find out what happened to the pug that's about to get snubbed. And we're also going to be talking about the president is in Israel as we speak. We'll be hearing some of the things that he's saying. Hopefully we'll get to the U.S. citizenship test. We only have 10 more questions left that self-deport from America. Also, we'll be talking about what are the keys to success. And if we have time, we're going to be talking about how to get things accomplished, how to make things happen through the power of God and how he's given us the wisdom to do it. It's going to be an encouraging extra hour. Yes, if you missed the first hour, you got to listen to some of the things that was shared about how to get free. You know, sometimes we can do things, but it doesn't necessarily mean we should do things. Find out more about that. And even if you've done something wrong, God can set you free and God can forgive you. Also, find out about my trip to Texas, land of the free, land of the brave, land where they're armed. It'll be good. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello. Oh, my goodness. That was a great, great. First off, you missed it. You got to catch it. You can find out the difference between wetness and dryness. Wetness and dryness. And I got to go visit, you know, during the time that the soil is cracking. Get a different perspective.
Oh, wow.
I'll come back like cracks in my face.
Yeah,
like,
right.
It's very dry here. Water. Yeah, water. So what's up? What's up? You know, I was listening to VFN Radio, and I just noticed that there was just such a all over the place with your emotions and things because, you know, first I know that Chris had gotten got him a little dog for the family, mm-hmm. A cute little pug or something.
Mm-hmm. Being nice for his daughter.
Yeah,
you know?
And some reason I remember hearing something like, "I can't believe you got a dog," something like that.
And then, that wasn't me.
It was, and then as I fast forwarded through the VFM radio segment to hear what's going on, I can't believe that he talked about a pug like that.
Exactly.
And then the next thing I hear, the next day, is like, "I just had to have one," and it was like jealousy. It was jealousy. That's what it was. All the other stuff was jealousy. I want a pug. I want a pug. I want a pug. And what he really didn't want a pug. He just wanted what his brother had. You remember that old time battle stuff? So now he has one. Mm. Now he has one, and I'm just praying for the pug. You know, he's doing things like what dogs do. Ed do.
Normal
do,
functions.
Do, do, do.
And do and do.
Do, do, do.
And do.
Do, do. At least it's little. I mean, if it was a max, it'd be like, somebody move Everest out of here. Yeah. And now I understand that I was looking on the adoption papers and Mojo Samson Woe, whatever the dog's name is, Pug, you know, is up for adoption. 25 cents. And he comes with a collar and a shots.
That's right.
No, that's I don't know if it's true or not. But
it could be.
It could be.
Oh man.
He was cute at first. Those all and you should see him, he was cooing. I was getting pictures of this dog. I mean, he was blowing up my phone.
Yeah, same here, man.
I had him on his lap, on his chest, I'm on his neck. Then I saw this bag. I said, wait a minute. He is not. No. He's driving with the dog hanging out the window. No. Wait a minute. What
his bags are packed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the whole thing is, it's like, it's the ugliest dog I've ever seen in my life.
I wouldn't have gone to your Braves.
Yeah. No, it was like, dang. Got some big eyes on the thing, you know? And he has it on his shoulder. He sends it pictures to us. It's sitting on his shoulder, sitting on his dash. I don't know. It's sitting all over the place. And now I think it's pooing all over the place, and he wants it to go. But it's like, sort of like, you know, say, hey, honey, we just want to have children, you know? And then you say, let's have a child. They have a child. It's like, the baby's pooing. It's like, we got to get rid of the baby. Like, no. We can handle this. We can train this child. We don't have to get rid of it. We can conquer this. We can conquer this thing. We'll have to train them. And, there's a dog training school right close by.
There is?
Yes. How long? By your place, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how? He sprayed me when I went there. Yeah, he did.
Really?
The person teaches.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It was like intense.
You weren't listening.
No, he knew the alpha dog wasn't around. Right. It was like rude. Anyway, so John was there with this little 2 ounce thing.
Right.
It was so funny, right? Like,
yeah.
Max is like, boom, 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 jumping stuff, and what was that? Was your dog?
Oh, she did it.
Coco.
She did it.
Coco. Coco. Yeah.
Proud of Coco.
That was so cute, you know. And it was, but it did the thing. It was just like, it, like tickle, tickle, tickle. Like I don't know. It was just so almost like it wasn't touching the floor. It was so light. The dog was so light. And it was amazing, totally amazing. And it's just time for you to go to school.
That's
yes.
it.
Time for you to go to school.
I put some Caesar moves on him the other day.
Oh my goodness, it's a pug.
It's a little thing.
You got to teach him while they're young.
Oh, my goodness. Is he limping or anything?
No, he's good. He's good.
He could do that, like, claw thing.
Oh, no.
Oh, he did.
Great. Now the pug is traumatized.
I know, man.
Hey, work for Holly. She's very obedient.
Yeah,
dog.
We see how she said, poor the Holly.
Yeah, she ran from the pug. Holly. She ran, and the pug was up to its toenail.
Not anymore.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. She had enough.
Oh, wow.
She was being gentle. Now she's like, she just looks at him. And he's like, on his back.
So
that's a submissive thing.
Everybody's hating on the pug now.
Wow.
I'm just so sad.
It was sad.
You know, it was totally fine. And now, you know.
Well, you know, he got comfortable. He's got an attitude now.
Oh, my
goodness. You got to deal with that.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh.
Well, PETA, I just want to say.
Yeah, Samson, we're praying for you. Okay? Yeah.
Is that his name this week, Samson?
This week, I don't know. Tomorrow, I don't know.
I'm sure there's a few other adjectives they probably describe. Get that dog out of here. Well, getting back to the president is in Israel right now. He is in Israel. And this is his first visit to Israel since he became the president of the United States. And he's in his second term. I really believe that it is a prophetic happening here. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you which way things are going to happen. But I just feel that in my spirit that this is a serious thing, a very serious thing. But first, let's listen up to CBN News. They report about right now as we speak, he's in Israel.
Graham, President Obama is in Israel today. Air Force One touched down at Ben Gurion Airport at about 6:20 this morning. It is the president's first visit to the country since first taking the oath of office 4 years ago. CBN's Chris Mitchell tells us what to expect from his Middle East tour.
President Obama stepped off Air Force One in Tel Aviv and conveyed his greetings to the Israeli people.
I see this visit as an opportunity to reaffirm the unbreakable bond between our nations, to restate America's unwavering commitment to Israel's security, and to speak directly to the people of Israel and to your neighbors.
The visit is dubbed Unbreakable Alliance. Some have called it a charm offensive. According to polls, many Israelis don't trust Obama. But Obama says it's his chance to connect with the Israeli people.
It could just be for the better, just to come to Israel and feel how it really is and to be friends with us.
If he thinks he's going to come here and, you know, dictate to us how we should go about security issues and peace with the Palestinians, stay at home.
I'm excited, but I don't have a ticket to see him.
But for many analysts, the president's timing seems a bit odd.
There's no Israeli government really that's organized itself and has its policies ready. There's certainly no Palestinian leadership representing the Palestinians.
And with Obama arriving less than a week before Passover, some Israelis liken it to Netanyahu visiting the U.S. on Christmas Eve.
But because he's announced that he's coming and because Israel and the U.S. are the best of friends, and so he'll be very welcome.
From the start, both Israel and the U.S. downplayed any idea of major breakthroughs.
The president is not coming as previous presidents have, either to lobby for a specific policy in the way that only U.S. presidents can do, or to take a victory lap upon the success of a policy.
Still, there's need for serious discussion.
I think Iran is probably the biggest issue, and I presume Obama will say the same things that he's been saying.
And then there's the stalled Israeli-Palestinian peace process. President Obama is scheduled to visit Palestinian-controlled Ramallah on Thursday. Then Friday, it's the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. There, Palestinians showed their disappointment with the president's first term by trashing a giant Obama poster.
It doesn't do anything for the Palestinian people. It just talk and doesn't do anything.
I think that there is no help from Obama to our situation in Palestine because they always talk and there is no result.
We got hope, you know. Always we got the hope in this trip.
One analyst says it may just turn out that the most important part of the visit is that it happened. Chris Mitchell, CBN News, Tel Aviv.
It is a really huge thing that the president is visiting because just the presence of our president of the United States mm-hmm. says a lot. But he's not going to go to the Knesset, which is the government's like not going to the White House. It's like
right.
it's like Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu coming to America and going to Cal State, you know, and speaking because the president's going to go to a university. He's not going to go to the Western Mound. He's going to go to a university like he did in Cairo, and he's going to give a speech there. And you just can't diss Israel because it's not about the Jews as much as it's about God and the Jews. You know what I'm saying? You don't touch the apple of his eye. And it is kind of like the flattery offensive, like you said, you know, that...
Yeah.
I mean, how many times are we hearing things said that's verbally it sounds great, but what's being done, the fruit of what's being done is totally opposite of that. And we have not, this has been the most unfriendly administration to Israel probably in the history of our nation.
Mm-hmm.
And the empowerment of the Muslim Brotherhood who wants to annihilate and destroy. We just sent $1.3 billion reportedly to Egypt. We sent them war aircraft, and this is the southern border of Israel, and then we're coming up here telling them that this is unbreakable alliance, and it's like, you know, hey, you know, you're arming the other side, you know, you're paying tribute to the other side of the borders, and you're saying, you know, it's just really difficult to see anything other than a deep heart change where, you know, God would just speak to our president and just say, you know, this has got to change. And, of course, Chuck Pierce prophesied about this whole situation prior to President Obama even being elected or even being on the grid for being elected. And towards the end of his term, it would change. You know, we changed, so he can change. And but this is dangerous territory. I think once your feet hit the soil and you have the same heart, and it hasn't changed, you know, maybe this will be the encounter that he has that brings about change.
Yeah.
Well, soon after arriving, his limo had a malfunction. They put in gasoline instead of diesel, and it shut it down. So his limo right now is on a tow truck, and they're flying in another limo for him from Jordan.
They used to fly two limos. They just flew one?
I don't know. There's one coming
to the Middle
from Jordan
East?
Now. In the Middle East with no armed
It's coming from
limo.
Jordan.
Exactly. Exactly.
Secret Service, that's something's up. Something's not right. We need to pray for our president.
How do you put gasoline?
Well, wait a minute. But nobody
diesel.
Touches the I forget what they call it, the limousine. Nobody touches it.
The beast.
The Secret Service are all over it.
Yeah.
So something may be going on. So I just want to encourage all of our listeners today to pray for our president, you know, pray protection over him, because we don't need somebody else giving him a car that we didn't build and protect him to keep him safe.
Mm-hmm.
And but that's not cool. Mm-hmm. That just doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. You know, I was part of one of the in law enforcement. I got a chance to be able to be one of the escort police for President Bush Senior, and the Secret Service are all over. You don't touch that stuff. And you didn't come anywhere near it. You go to jail. It's serious stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that could have been intentional. That could have been an intentional, because coming from Jordan, you know, that's where Bin Laden came from, right? Those Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. Saudi
Arabia. Jordan
is
our friend. You know, I understand that we are due train, but it's just like we should bring our own cars to protect our president. I'm uncomfortable with that.
This is not like a. This is a very simple thing to do. You know what I mean? How do you mistake gas?
Well, I'm uncomfortable with that. And we just really need to pray protection over our president that, you know, no harm would come to him and the visit would happen and Israel would be blessed and that he would come back to the States and everybody would be okay. But yeah, it's the first visit that's happened in his presidency. And no matter what, it is very significant. And the people who were not for Israel will not appreciate the visit. Sure. And it makes that alone helps us to look better in the eyes of God that, hey, because more Americans are for Israel than against Israel.
Absolutely.
And even Congress, majority of Congress is all of Congress, I believe.
Yeah, you see those how many standing ovations did he give the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu when he came to speak to them?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And they signed it. It's just like this few folks are, it's just amazing what's going on right now. But, yeah, today is the visit. You can find out more at cbnnews.com or go to the VFN Torch at vfntv.com. And you can actually see video of what you just heard from CBN News right there. Well, you know, it's been some time. We only have 100 questions on the U.S. citizenship test. And it is time for the next 5 questions on the U.S. citizenship test. And we only have 10 questions left.
Wow.
That's right. Only 10 questions left. And, of course, we have been deeply humiliated, realizing that maybe we have been critical of others coming to our country who actually could pass the test that know about our country. Mm-hmm. And we are learning we also learned about the brain too in this whole journey that, once you're a certain age, you've learned everything you can learn unless you get rid of some stuff. And we just happen to get rid of the Constitution in our brain.
Yeah.
in our history, it's like, oh my goodness. And
a lot of politicians have lost it too.
Yeah, really. We got to relearn things again. And so we're on question 91 of 100 questions. This is very exciting. We're coming to the end. Of course, I'm going to ask you the question and give you a chance to think. And when you're thinking, you're going to hear this. That's exactly right. You take all the time you want until the music stops. And then you got to give an answer. And with that, that'll be your final answer. Mm-hmm. And of course, if you get it right, of course, everybody's going to applaud you. But if you get it wrong... So here it is. Question number one on the U.S. citizenship test. The test today.
Come on, say it with us. Citizenship.
Citizenship test. This GPS systems, and all that kind of stuff, it does tongue tire. We're like Sally sells seashells by the seashore. It was like some sort of towns and stuff we're driving through, and it was like, that was beautiful. It just literally dictated perfectly.
Really?
Yeah, I'm like, dang, that was good. I couldn't do that. Anyway, back on the record here. Question number one for the U.S. citizenship test today is going to Pat. Here's the question. Question one is, of course, this is close. You got to really catch this up. You may have to self-deport.
Uh-oh.
You may have to self-deport to, Kyrgyzstan. Kyrgyzstan.
Siberia.
Name one.
That's easy.
He's already thinking like one. Name one U.S. territory. Today's question, name one U.S. territory. Awesome. Here we go. Today's question is first one's for Pat, 1 out of 5. Is name one U.S. territory. All right, Pat.
All right. How about Puerto Rico?
Hey, bravissimo. Bravissimo. John, just out of curiosity, because this is not going to you're not going to have to self-deport because this question has already been dealt with. Name one more. And there's several U.S. territories.
I'm going to go, Alex, for 5,000 with Guam.
Hey!
Yeah. Impressive.
Back to you, Pat.
You should have seen that.
There's a whole bunch more.
I'm out of space. There's nothing left. I'm maxed out.
Wow. Well, I was wondering if you got John's one territory they knew about. But Guam. But
he thought I was one-dimensional, see?
Guam, that's a huge dimension.
That's huge.
Well, it's Puerto Rico, the U.S. Virgin Islands,
Well, let me read the question again so those that are listening. Name one U.S. territory, and these are U.S. territories you could have picked from, a Puerto Rico, the U.S. Virgin Islands, American Samoa, Northern Mariana. I knew that was a territory islands, and Guam. Question number next. Go into you, John, on the U.S. citizenship. U.S.
citizenship. It's almost like getting a mill.
What?
It's almost like getting a mill. A mill.
What? A mill?
A mill. Instead of a meal, he says a mill.
Oh. Okay. Wow.
That's a tournament.
That's a more than thing, I guess.
That was like definitely a rabbit trail. Okay, we're back to the test. Question number next. John, question number next on the U.S. citizenship test for you is, name one state that borders Canada. Name one state that borders Canada. All right, John. Question you from the U.S. citizenship test, so you don't have to go to Kyrgyzstan or Siberia. Name one. It doesn't look like the GOP is going to get it anyway. So don't anybody's worried about something for that GOP stuff. Like they're like, oh my goodness. Anyway, listen. Name one state that borders Canada.
Well, I'm going to go with the state of New York.
Hey, oh my goodness. That's so good. Very good. Very good. Pat.
I actually went to Canada.
Yes. Name a state that borders Canada.
How about Washington?
Hey! Oh my goodness, that's very good. John, name a state that borders Canada.
I'm going to say... Oregon.
Okay, so we'll see how far we go. That's it.
How about Maine?
All right. He jumped in there. Now for the territories, you got, it was silent. Right?
Oh, now he's spitting them out now. All right. He's educated.
Okay, go ahead. Pat, we'll just go back to you again.
I just gave you one.
You want another one? John, you want to shoot for another one? Let me name one for you. Here is all the states that border Canada, because the question is on the U.S. citizenship test. To be a citizen of America, you've got to take this test and pass it. Name one state that borders Canada. Well, this is some of the ones you could have named. Maine, New Hampshire. You don't think of that, do you? But really, it's New Hampshire. Vermont, New York, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Minnesota, North Dakota, Montana, Idaho, Washington, and of course, Alaska.
How about that?
I didn't realize there were that many. I didn't realize they were touching us. They're touching us up there. Anyway, here
good
we go.
Friendly.
What's that?
Good thing they're friendly.
Yes, very friendly. Pat, question number next on the U.S. citizenship test is name one state that borders. He's like, is there other borders? Name one state that borders Mexico. All right, Pat. The question for you on the U.S. citizenship test is, name one state that borders Mexico.
How about Texas?
Hey, John, name one state that other than Texas. Arizona. Oh, my goodness. Yes, good. Pat. Name one state other than the two that have been named, that bored us?
Border.
Mexico.
California.
Hey, oh my goodness.
Wow.
John, name the last state that borders Mexico.
Nevada. No?
There aren't any more. I was just saying, there aren't any more.
Bust.
Well, John, question number next from the U.S. Citizenship test is question 94 on the test, as a matter of fact. What is the capital of the United States? John, the question for you is from the U.S. citizenship test is, what is the capital of the United States?
I'm going to go with Washington, D.C.
Hey, oh my goodness. I was really concerned about that one. I didn't know if you were going to get that or not. Of course, some people say, oh, that's easy. But yeah, you understand, if you're coming from another country and you're taking this test, you don't know that yet. So you're going to need to know where the capital is. Not that it's really significant or does anything important, you know, right. But you need to really know where it's at, you know, just in case you want to go see some statues and stuff. Pat, question number next from the U.S. citizenship test is, where is the Statue of Liberty? Where is the Statue of Liberty?
Yes.
Get it right, Pat. Get it right.
All of our New York listeners are going like, great.
Oh, no.
Pat, where
is... What did you just say?
Where is the Statue of Liberty?
That would be in New York.
What are you talking about? It's Ellis Island.
Incorrect.
It's in the state, isn't it?
It's in Ellis Island.
Come on.
New Jersey.
That's right. Get it really out. Is, isn't it? It is in New Jersey.
New Jersey.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I thought about Manhattan. I thought that was in New York.
Well, it is. It is in New York, but.
No.
I'm mistaken.
It's in the water.
It's on the Jersey side.
Yeah. But the test says, the answer to the question, you want to know what it is? Statue of Liberty? Where's the Statue of Liberty? It's in the New York Harbor. The New York Harbor.
Well, I have it right.
Or Liberty Island. It was cool. I mean, you can see it from New York. You can see it from New York. But it is. It's actually on Ellis Island out there. Oh, not Ellis Island. It's Ellis Island.
Yes, Liberty Ellis Island.
It is Ellis? Yeah. Okay. Question number last, John.
That was the last one.
Was the last one? Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. We have completed the test. We'll be right back in just a moment. You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to PFN Radio every day, you know, we're 24-7, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch, or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you.
Wow. I mean, you're probably listening to VFN Radio and you want to be part of the end time harvest. Well, I want to encourage you. Maybe Vine Fellowship Network University is for you. VFNU.org. This is a great opportunity for you to be raised up and to get anointed teaching. Listen, this is a wonderful time to be equipped. This is fresh revelation for where the church is going. Don't sit around and wonder, how can I be a part? Listen, this is for you. This is now. Get ready. Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU.org. Come on and be a part of the end time harvest.
Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. Well, you know, I don't know if you heard this or not, but I'm not a camper. I've camped more probably than the typical person. I am just not, I'm not a camper. I mean, camping for me was like, you know, you're in a hotel and
I mean, I think you're confused.
You're in a hotel and you are hungry. You get hungry and you look at, and it's late, it's like midnight or something, and you look at the room service and it says room service not after midnight. And then it's like, whoa, I'm camping out. I hope I can make it till like, the room service comes again, or the breakfast buffet opens up in the morning. I am telling you what, it's amazing. God will use the things that are not, the campers that not, are not, to nullify the campers that are. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John as we're coming to the last half hour of the Extra Hour. I want to share with you something so important that, I don't know, you would say, life's timeline. I'm going to talk about life's timeline. Mm. And, you know, there's three things we all have in common. I don't care who you are. You have this in common. We all have this in common. One, we're all born. There was a day we were born. Two, we all will die. And the third thing is, whatever we will accomplish in our lives will happen between these two dates. Mm. And think about that. It's like a definite. So anybody that ever did anything, good, bad, or whatever, they did it between those two dates. And it's like, when you, so often when we, I look back on the years I wasted, and I'm thinking, my goodness, what a waste of time, what a waste of energy, what a waste of resources. And it'd be cool. It'd be cool if that you had wisdom when you had energy at the same time. Together, you know, like, why does it come when you know?
Right.
And so the president of the United States. I mean, you think about it, everybody, And they say that many people think about making something happen. Some people make things happen, but most people just wonder what happened.
Yeah.
And it's so amazing. You find out after a while by thinkers, you just kind of like, oh, that's all they're going to do. They're not going to ever do anything. They're just going to think about it. I was talking to a man this week, and a businessman, and he says, you know what? He says, I'm just really tired of those behind the pulpit. They're just talking, but they're not doing. They just kind of say it over, but they're not going to do it. There's nothing, you know, that's how man's going to go like, okay, at some point we're going to have to do what we're talking about. And he was talking about how, but also at the same time, he was talking about Promise Keepers and how that impacted his life. And, you know, and I was talking, you know, the significance of the whole thing. But no matter what, even this man and other people, that you have to be, those three things in common with everybody else. So whatever anybody else does, you can choose, you know, say, hey, I want to be somebody who actually makes something happen. I'm going to do something with my life, what God has given me. You think about this. Life, this is people that wonder what happened. These are the people that just they say it just happens to them. Mm-hmm. Life just happens to them instead of them happening to life. They hope for things to happen, but they never plan on participating in that actually taking place in their life. And, you know, hope deferred makes a heart sick. And if you're a person who just thinks about making things happen in your life, you'll eventually begin to be downhearted because hope deferred makes a heart sick. And if you're one that life just happens to and you're always saying, how did that happen? you jumped off the building and broke your leg. That's how that happened. because you didn't vote. That's why that happened. because you think about this. You say, you know what happened? Because you are wondering what happened. You are struggling more than likely with trying to do a scientific study of your past, some sort of psychological review of others, and you're looking for places to play blame. And you're deeply thinking about. You're always in the past. You're thinking about the past. You're talking about you're 70 years old, still talking about high school reunion. It's like mm-hmm. This school's torn down, and they built like a shopping center on it. You know, and they got to look forward, but they're looking back. You know, they're just looking back, and they never look ahead. They're not looking and projecting and planning and all those things you do when you're a person that kind of, you know, makes things happen. You're going to participate. So many, even Christians, are going, I'm just waiting for God to parallel the universe with a shooting star over my head, with provision to show up with a pelican bringing it in his lower bill, limping on one leg to tell me that I'm supposed to do something. You know, I was like, come on. I mean, just do it, dude. Ma'am, just do it. Come on. It's mm-hmm. It's written. Instructions are written in the book. Go. Tell them. Let them know. And even in your business realm. And so when you think about this, but if you're a person who makes things happen, you understand that faith without works is dead. You know that you, if you're a Christian, you know that you're if you are diligent in seeking the Lord's guidance and putting an effort down to put down a plan that you're going to work diligently and hope that God's going to bring to pass, that God is going to work with you and something's going to happen. You're not going to just sit back with things just whatever. You're participating in this thing called life. Listen, we're not waiting on God. God's waiting on us. God, make something happen. Paul said, I'm going to go to the next land and tell them about Jesus. I mean, he's going to move on. He's going to just go and do and be. And sometimes the Holy Spirit would keep him from going, and sometimes the Holy Spirit would compel him to go. And it was just about going and doing and being. And so many believers have been convinced nowadays, and it's really a lie that a lot of people are buying into, that it's an excuse for doing nothing. Is saying, well, I haven't heard from God yet. And it's like, I don't think you've heard from God in a long time. And it has nothing to do with the call. And it's like, we're supposed to be in the Father's business. You're supposed to be fruitful at your business. If you are a underpaid worker, you're supposed to be blessed at the place that you're underpaid, so much so that they're going to want to promote you and see the blessing on your life like they did for Joseph and see the blessing on his life. Mm-hmm. You see, this timeline in our lives that starts at our birth and ends at our death, everything that we'll do will have to be accomplished during this timeline. You know, so many people are like, you know, they're just dreaming. Oh, I would like, and I was like, but they never put anything down on that line. What I would like to achieve by a certain time. What do I need to do to achieve it? And just begin to actively be involved in doing that. And it's just so many, I think so many people are going to be shocked when they get to the end of their life and think, especially Americans, because we live in such a blessed culture. We're not out plowing fields and growing things and raising cattle. Texas, they are. But but we're not mostly doing that. And so it's like, what are we doing with our time? Mm-hmm. What are we doing with it? And so many businesses, like for example, in sales, they realize if I could just get the people that work for me to quit watching television and start getting in the field and telling people about the product, it'll sell.
It's amazing how that works. It's amazing how that works. People weren't even thinking about the product. They didn't know they have a need for the product. But because people went out there in the field and opened their mouths and shared with them, imagine that. They sold it.
That's exactly it. And think about this. I think about Joel Osteen's dad.
John
Osteen. And there was a man that was just really caught in that dilemma that we're talking about, and he's thinking, he's just caught in a quagmire. He doesn't know what to do. He's thinking, like, finally figures, if I could just get to one of the things that John Osteen's doing, and I can probably meet with him, then this thing will work out. So he goes to this whole conference, and he gets back to John's office, and John's a little man, and not John Ramos, I'm talking about Osteen.
I am too.
Right. And so he gets to his office, he's thinking, this is it. And so he says, listen, I knew if I could get to you, you could help me get to know what I need to do with for God. And so he puts his hands together. He leans back in his chair and he looks at the man and he says, do something, lest you do nothing. Mm-hmm. And the biggest tragedy is going to be if you did nothing. And in a blessed land like America, it is easy to do nothing. There are so many things to make you comfortable in your nothingness. And not to challenge your nothingness. Matter of fact, you can find friends that are nothingness. And y'all can talk about nothing and eat around nothing. And it's just amazing. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my gosh, that's nothing.
Yeah.
You know?
Is this going somewhere?
Is there a reason for this conversation? Oh, this is another nothing meeting. And so if you want to go to college, if you want to get married, if you want to minister for Jesus, if you want to plant a church, if you're going to win someone to Jesus, if you want to be a musician, if you want to be the president of the United States, you know, it's all going to happen in your timeline.
That's right.
It's going to happen when you begin to say, this is what I see for my life. This is where the Lord's leading me. And I'm going to begin to figure out what it's going to take to be able to do it. I'm going to pray for God's wisdom, but I'm going to do something. At least I do nothing. Because no matter what in your life, it will end up being told by these three things. It will end, your life will end, your whole life story will be told on a gravestone. On a gravestone, they'll have your name, and under your name, they'll have three things. They'll have the date that you were born, they'll have the date that you died, and in the middle, they have a very small dash. And let me tell you something, this life goes by so fast. If you don't wake up, it will end in nothingness for you. It will end with just hopes and dreams that never became realities. When everything inside of you was inside everybody else, but you chose not to take those talents and to invest them and to do something, lest you do nothing. I want to encourage you today to realize you have something in common with everyone. Three things. The date we're born, the date we die, and anything we're going to accomplish has to be done during that time. Make it a moment. Make your life count. As James says, he calls it a vapor. Do something in your vapor. Do something for God. Quit asking for permission to do what God commanded you to do. Just get in relationship and become accountable so that you actually survive in what you're doing. It's time to get active. It's time for the church to wake up, shake itself, bring together what remains, and do what God has called you to do.
Fantastic. Well, you know, I want to talk about the top three of the VFN torch. The first one I want to share is channels of his love. And, you know, we're reminded in John 15 what Jesus' command. I mean, he said, my command is this, to love each other as I have loved you. And that greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You know, the Lord gives us a command. It's not a suggestion. You know, we're to walk in love in the same manner that he loved us. And the thing about the Lord's love is that his love was on display. He gave his entire life. And we should follow in that example. And the greatest way that we can display and move in love, the greatest way, is when we willingly lay down our life for others. I mean, that's where it's really at. Because our life, our wishes, our desires, et cetera, you could go on forever. When we lay that down, it's not about us, but it's about others. It's about God. Right. And God calls us to be channels of his love.
Right.
Unless we stand in the way of that channel.
Mm-hmm.
And the love of God doesn't flow through us.
Right.
You know, it'll cost us everything, but there's nothing more beautiful than to be a channel of God's love. So you definitely want to catch that on the Torch. You can go to VFNTV.com and select Torch. The second one we want to share is gloating over the fall of your enemy.
Mm. Don't do that.
Mm. So with the moment, don't gloat. Proverbs 24 says, don't gloat when your enemy falls. When he stumbles, do not let your heart rejoice. Or get this, or the Lord will see and disapprove and turn his wrath away from him. Wow. And take chew on that. You know, the first thing we learn is that we can have some enemies.
Yes, true.
That is true.
No matter how much you want to believe it, you can have enemies.
Really? That's right.
You've been thinking about me that long?
Oh, you can have some enemies. But God, there's a way that even God wants us to respond to our enemies. I mean, my goodness, he tells us to love them, to be kind to them, to treat them good. If you see someone hungry, give them something to eat. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink.
But if they hit you in one cheek, turn the other.
Turn the other.
After two cheeks, I don't know what you could do from there.
Yeah, I don't know. Pat will have to tell us, yeah. You know, his divine.
He never made it past the first cheek. He won't be a good shot. He's still working on that.
Still working on that one.
Well, we're not to take revenge, but allow God to be the judge and to bring justice.
He's good at
really,
it.
Yeah, all justice belongs to the Lord.
And he's quick to forgive. We'll find out that you know, God will. You better forgive your adversaries, your enemies quickly, because God will forgive them the moment that they realize what they were doing and they ask for God's forgiveness.
That's right.
You could be behind the ball.
You better quick to the draw, right?
Right.
Forgive.
I think we talk about, you know, how not just to pray for your enemies, but to bless them. And not only bless them, but want to see that blessing come to pass in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you know you're free from anything that may hold you in that whole situation.
That's right. A key way of knowing that you're free is when you can pray. If you can't pray for them, something's up.
Pray, but also bless.
Yeah.
And expect the blessing to come to pass and rejoice when it does.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's just like that's how you know. So when you go to your mailbox and you find a check for $1,000 but no name on it, that's somebody getting free from you. This guy keeps on coming back. I just want to say, I got another $1,000 with no name on it. It's like, you must be ticking a lot of people off. They're trying to get free from you, bro. Okay.
Oh, my goodness. Well, last one we want to share is life is short. Just do the right thing. Just do the right thing. And we should talk about a young woman who was only 35 when she passed away. And, you know, we don't live forever. You know, tomorrow's not promised to, you know, to any of us. And the only thing, you know, we can take with us is what is actually buried with us. And we talk about the rich young man, and we talk about the rich man and Lazarus. And at the end, what we find is that Lazarus, the beggar, he was the one that made it. And the rich man was actually tormented. And so the whole thing about it here is that, you know, we just need to do the right thing. We just need to trust God and let God be God and live for him. We'll be right back.
You know, John, I think about the goodness of Jesus Christ. When I hear about the joy and the goodness and the life and the celebration that I read in the Word of God that Jesus talks about, you know, when I hear about religion and I read the Word of God and I hear man's religion, then I hear Jesus, there's a big difference. And I hear about what Jesus is saying, and it's just like, I want to know the Jesus that Jesus talks about. I want the joy that Jesus talks about. And if you're ever wondering, how do I get that joy? How do I get that goodness, that life, that happiness that Jesus talks about? I want to encourage you. You can get that relationship. You can get that daily joy through abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. Go to iabide.org. Jesus Christ has love and he's got joy specifically for you. iabide.org. You know, John, I have been so encouraged listening to you and sharing your stories about Elijah and Isaiah and Maya and how you got to spend time with them at one of their baseball games, how encouraged they were with the fact that that you were just simply there. Your presence, just being with them, encouraged them. Tell me about that.
Well, that's cool, man. I can understand what you're saying because I feel that way when I know that God is near me.
Yeah.
You know, when I have a relationship with him and I know that he's present, he's not far away.
Mm-hmm.
He's not too far that is, you know, he can't reach out to me, not too far that his eyes are not always on me. And maybe you are listening today and you wish that you had a father to be in your life, or you wish that somebody was there to watch you. I want to tell you that you're not alone. Many of us have experienced the same things in our lives, and we wanted to know more about God ourselves.
Yeah.
But it was a journey. We were all on a journey. Isn't that right, Steve?
Absolutely.
And that journey brought us to a point where, you know what? I want to meet the Father.
That's right.
I want to meet Father God. And so some of us have shared our stories. You know, a lot of it's not pretty, but what is? But what it truly is, it's real.
Mm.
And if you're looking for a story, a real life story that would help encourage you, I want to ask you to find out more at meetmyfather.org, where real people have gone through real things to find the real Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the last part is Pat and John. I want to mention, if you missed that, the top three on the Torch, you've got to catch it. Go to the Torch. There's so many wonderful articles and teachings and God's news behind the news and so many things about original tent that can really help you out. Go to VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. I want to tell you today, as we're coming to the end of the Extra Hour, a key to success. You know, so many people are looking at, and this is one of the keys to success, and everybody's trying so hard to be successful. And of course, when you talk to people, you start finding out their definition of success. But after a while, you think, you know, I just want to succeed. You know, I want to be successful in my business, in my marriage, and family, maybe business, whatever it is. And I'm looking at Proverbs in this wisdom moment of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. And he says, the word says, in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. And this, let's just pause there for a moment and realize, my goodness, you think about it. So many people are worried about writing the wrong plan, but they don't understand you can write all day long, but how it's going to turn out is how God wanted it to turn out.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
You know, and that, you know, Romans 8:28, that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And so many people are scared to put a pen to the paper because they're thinking that their plan is going to overrule God's plan. But they don't realize once you write the plan, once you put down something you're going to do in your life, the next step is going to come because God allows it. And if it doesn't happen, then God's not allowing that particular step.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says in verse 3 and 4 of Proverbs 16, he says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. Think about it. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and then your plans will succeed. Think about that.
Mm.
I mean, you understand that you're committing your plans to God, who's going to determine your steps, even though you write your plan, and realize that it's going to succeed. It will succeed in God. And this is what he says. He goes on to say in verse 4, like I said, the Lord works everything out to his own end, which is really cool because, you know, sometimes we may miss it and we're writing this thing out, but we can always know how it ends up is how God wanted it to end up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty cool. You say, well, this must have messed up because, you know, Jesus said, let's go to Jerusalem and minister for a while. Next thing you know, he's nailed to a cross. And, you know, we're running for our lives. And it was like something must have went wrong here.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is that the Lord worked it out, the whole situation out, to his own end. He had his son offered up as a sin offering for everyone who will accept his son as their Lord and Savior and the only way to God. It looked like it came to a terrible end, and it was terrible what happened on the cross, but they chose to do this. Jesus chose this because he loves you and loves the Father. God chose to sacrifice his only son so that you and I could be in relationship with him, but he knew that he would raise his son up from the grave 3 days later. But he is willing to put his son through this agony, all the consequences of our sin that ever was and ever will be, on his son. And it looked like, hey, this thing is really messed up. And sometimes you're beginning to do things in your life, and it looks like it's just utter ruin. How could this be this way? How could this work out this way? And you got to realize God's working things out to his own end. We're just characters in this huge theater playing our role that our Father has written for us under the empowerment of his Holy Spirit because of his Son. And we shouldn't get so caught up in thinking how things turn out as much as did we obey? Did we do what we felt the Lord was calling us to do at the time we were called to do it? And realize that many are the plans in a man's heart, or a man plans the courses of his life, but it's the Lord determines his steps. And you can have confidence. Hey, the direction this thing's going, the direction my relationships are going, the direction this business is going, because I've dedicated it to God, it's going God's way. This is the way he wants it to go. And that confidence will release the Holy Spirit to do an awesome work in your life and in your ministry and in your marriage and in your relationships. Today's wisdom moments from Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3, 4, and 9. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. The Lord works out everything to his own end. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.